Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Welcome to the Bike Radar Podcast, brought to you by the team behind BikeRadar.com, Cycling Plus, and MBUK magazines. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe. And if you can do so, leave us a rating on your podcast provider of choice. It really helps us reach other cyclists like you.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Bike Radar Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Von Bromley, and today I'm joined by Liam Cahill, our wonderful road and gravel presenter from our YouTube channel. How are you doing, Liam?
Oh, I'm much better now. I've been called wonderful.
Well, you are wonderful, Liam. You're our only and best road and gravel presenter.
Well, that's an achievement.
Well, you're joining us today to talk about big chain rings. Now, if you've been following the pro road racing scene recently, you may have noticed that many riders are increasingly using some absolutely massive chain rings.
The big dogs, the big daddies.
Dinner plates.
We love them.
Dinner plate chain rings. Now, for a long time, 53 tooth chain rings were kind of standard in the pro peloton, you know, typically paired with a 39T. But the gears sold to kind of bikes on everyday riders have gotten smaller in recent years. But pros are heading in the opposite direction. So, why are they doing that? And maybe should we be using big chain rings, Liam? Are we actually being sold the wrong thing by some certain group set manufacturers? Let's discuss it today, Liam.
I mean, the big question I have, is it going to make me faster?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? You know, is it just that are today's pro riders just simply so much faster than the rest of us that they need these bigger gears? Or is there something else going on? So first off, Liam, are pro racers getting faster?
Well, if you look at the average speeds of common road races, then you'd have to say yes. You know, aerotech has been improving. Nutrition has been going literally, I was going to say through the roof, but maybe through something else in
carb
some cases.
Carb consumption.
Oh, it's high. 120 grams per hour. I heard Uno X riders, the men in the tour, were doing something like 140, 160 grams per hour. And race tactics as well. People are tending to look to attack from further out. And we have been seeing average speeds going crazy. So Paris-Roubaix keeps having its fastest year ever.
Yeah, I think the last three editions of it have been the fastest ever.
Aided by a very big tailwind this year and some interesting tactics from Alpecin de Koenig.
Sure, but I think it's also fair to say that, like you said, sort of training and nutrition, and particularly, you know, the kind of adoption of, you know, the mass adoption of aerotech. You know, everyone's on aero bikes now. Everyone's wearing skin suits. Everyone's wearing aero helmets. A lot of people wearing things like time trial overshoes in road races.
And they're doing, you know, we're going to the point where we're getting optimized helmets from the time trial world coming into road racing. And we're seeing teams optimizing their tire size for their rim width. We're really getting down to the fine details now.
Yeah. So in that sense, then you would think that, oh, you know, maybe pro riders are simply just using bigger chain rings because they need bigger gears, right? You know, bigger chain rings give you bigger gear ratios. And, you know, in order to kind of maintain a rider's preferred cadence, that could be doing it. But it's kind of interesting because at the same time as, you know, riders using bigger chain rings, we've recently seen in the last few years a number of manufacturers releasing cassettes with 10 tooth cogs, which actually give you a much bigger effective gear ratio. So which manufacturers have been doing that, Liam?
So SRAM has been famous for its 10-tooth cog at the back and smaller chain rings. They started out with some pretty small chain rings. I think 50 tooth was their largest chain ring size for a little while, but then they went 52, and now they've brought out 54. And, you know, they've been experimenting a lot with Wombi. This was generally reserved to Paris-Roubaix, but then riders like Wout van Aert, Marianne Vos, the women specifically have been big adopters of this technology, and it's creeping into just general stage racing now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when SRAM initially moved to a 10 from an 11-tooth cog with its red axis group set initially, and your Campagnolo has recently followed suit with its new super record wireless group set, you know, it kind of argued that you could basically have the same gear ratios, but with a kind of tighter cassette and smaller chain rings. Now, the smaller chain rings and the tighter cassette should, in theory, be lighter, mm-hmm. but you still can get a kind of, you know, they would argue, a bigger range, lighter system without kind of, you know, it's a kind of win-win in their eyes, right? So how come the pros are kind of request, because I think this is, you know, as you say, when SRAM first launched its Axis group sets with the smaller chain rings, you're right, the 50-37T combination was the biggest they offered. And actually, like, most consumer bikes would inspect with a 48-35 or a 46-33. But the pro riders really kind of, you know, stuck their oar in and said, we want bigger chain rings. And certainly when we saw anyone using the new Super Record Wireless at last year's tour, for example, on Ben O'Connor's bike, he was using a 54-tooth big ring, which wasn't part of the new group set. But why is that, Liam?
Well, one could, you know, argue that the pros were looking in depth at the kind of chain resistance data. Or you could say that they're professional cyclists and they're very stuck in their ways, which I think is probably a bit more of the case. They're used to a certain thing, and they're very, I think, sensitive to the way the bike feels, and the drivetrain is, you know, right at their feet, and, you know, they know what they're pushing. And if that 10 tooth cog felt a bit rougher, maybe didn't feel as optimized, they were probably going to feel it, and they would just say, no, I don't want this.
So I think, yeah, it's a really interesting one, because I actually think, you know, if you look at the, what, especially with the riders who have 10-tooth sprockets now, you, if you're using a 54-tooth chainring with a 10-tooth sprocket, you end up with a massive gear.
That's huge.
You know, it's kind of like it's something equivalent to like a 58-11 or something like that. And I don't think really any pro riders, you know, even as fast as they are really in need of a ratio that big for a kind of typical road race.
There may have been a couple of sprints in like the Tour of Poland back in the day when they had a downhill run that famously has gone, thank God.
Yeah. But I think what really is kind of going on is that a lot of these riders are just looking for those kind of small percentages and trying to optimize their drivetrain efficiency, basically, because as we know from kind of data from the likes of companies like Friction Facts, which was a previously independent company specializing in drivetrain friction that's now owned by Ceramic Speed, basically bigger chain rings and bigger cogs are more efficient than smaller ones. Now, when it did some testing, when Friction Facts, when it was still independent, did some testing on this back in 2015, it found that a 53 times 15 tooth combination was 1.5 watts more efficient than a 3911. And that's with a kind of perfectly straight chain line. So that's like the optimal scenario. But when you take into account the fact that in a kind of, you know, a real 2x drivetrain solution, the 3911 is going to have a really sharp chain angle. You're going to be cross-chaining, essentially. In that situation, the kind of effects can be even more significant. And so I think even when you're in the big ring, if you're down on those kind of smaller sprockets, you know, you're still getting a little bit of cross-chaining. And I think what riders are doing is trying to get that big chain ring to optimize their chain line and, you know, the having the gain of the bigger chain rings. Now, the reason that bigger chain rings are more efficient than smaller ones is basically because the chain doesn't have to wrap it in as kind of tighter angles. Now, it's the same reason that, you know, brands such as Ceramic Speed sell those oversized pulley wheels. You know, they are more efficient, you know, not just because they have ceramic bearings in the pulley wheels, but they're more efficient because the chain doesn't have to kind of wrap in such a tight angle. Because of physics, that causes less drivetrain friction. You know, we're only talking about a few watts here, and it might seem really insignificant, right? But I think if, like, if you express it in terms of a kind of percentage, if it's 1% more efficient or something, that might sound like not much to you and I who don't put out much power. But if you're a pro rider, and I don't know what average power Matthew van der Poel was putting out over Paris-Roubaix, for example.
Quite a lot.
But it would have been a lot. And so 1% of his average power is suddenly a lot. And if you're looking at someone like, especially like we're seeing a lot of these big chain rings, you know, the really big chain rings we're seeing in time trials, for example, you know, Tobias Foss used a 68 tooth chain ring for the time trial at the 2024 UAE Tour, for example. Now, I don't think for a second, you know, he didn't even win that time trial. So I don't think for a second he would have been using the 6811 on his kind of Dura-Ace R9200 group set. But what we would have been doing is basically trying to use a straight chain line and a bigger cog in the middle of the cassette. And it would have just been very efficient. What's the biggest chain ring we've seen used in a road race this year, Liam?
Well, at Paris-Roubaix, we saw the Ineos duo of Ben Turner and Josh Tarling. They rocked up with 60 and 62 tooth chain rings, respectively, which it's sizable. And they weren't running 2x drivetrains either. That was their one chain ring for the day. They didn't have any like classified hub in the back to give them an effective 2x drivetrain. That was it. And I think they were running something like 11 to 34 tooth cassettes at the back, which just shows how fast that race is going to be all day.
Yeah. And it is worth noting that, you know, so they would have run, as you said, they ran sort of 60 and 62 tooth chain rings. Matthew van der Poel won the race and he used only, in inverted commas, a 54 tooth chain ring. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, 54-40 is now the new standard from Shimano for its pro races at the Dura-Ace level. And it's kind of rare in, you know, outside of a mountain stage now to see pro riders on chain rings that are smaller than a 54.
Mm.
Yeah, like I said, you know, they're basically doing this for efficiency gains. You know, you want the bigger chain rings and the bigger cassette sprockets, and you also want that straighter chain line. I think we can kind of all understand that. You know, if anyone who's ever ridden a single speed or fixed gear bike, you know, the kind of straight chain line really makes a nice difference. But I think the big question is, Liam, should amateur riders be using bigger chain rings?
Well, as a non-aero and chain ring aficionado, I kind of have a few key questions here. So one would be, surely that massive chain ring is going to be heavier, which as a skinny little climber terrifies me, adding weight to my bike. Let's not do that. Maybe they're less aero as well. I don't know. But yeah, what's the evidence there?
So, you know, all else being equal, a bigger chain ring is going to be heavier than a smaller one. I think for a majority of situations, you know, outside of like a hill climb, it's not going to matter. You know, the kind of like, if you think, if we look at those, you know, the 53-15 versus 39-11 example earlier, if that's a watt and a half more efficient, if you go to the bigger combination, and then you get the added effect of using a straighter chain line as well, that gain is going to outweigh anything that you would save from using smaller cogs, unless you're on a really steep hill.
Mm.
And, you know, the thing with most bike rides and races is that even if there are really steep hills in your bike ride, you don't spend the majority of time there. Now, in terms of aerodynamics, I don't have a kind of evidence-based answer to that question. I have heard Josh Portner of Silka, who used to work at Zip as part of their wheel development brand, so, you know, a guy who knows a lot about aerodynamics, suggest that there is a kind of tipping point where, you know, you get to a chainring that is a certain size, the kind of aero penalty of that chainring may outweigh the kind of additional efficiency benefits. But it's kind of tricky to say when that would be. And the fact that Tobias Foss used a 68 tooth chainring at the 2024 UAE Tour time trial suggests that you can go pretty big and there still be a benefit, because, you know, Ineos have got some pretty smart people working for them. You would have assumed they tested something like that. And if you can go, you know, up to 68 teeth, like that is a whopper of a chain ring. That's not something you're just, you know, you'd have to, that's a custom chain ring. So if you can go that big and still get a benefit, you know, and especially because a time trial like that, it was pan flat, basically in the desert, like it would have been completely aero dominated. So that would suggest to me that it kind of is still worth it. I think the main takeaway though, the main things to worry about, you know, it's very easy to assume, well, I'll just slap on some bigger chain rings and then, you know, I'll just be 1% faster or, you know, 1% more efficient. but you've got to get your gearing right. You know, and as we already talked about, these pros are really, really fast nowadays. Pro races are, you know, being ridden at incredible speeds. And for most of us, you know, we just don't ride that fast.
I wanted to touch on this because, so I've been chasing some numbers here. And I got Dylan Van Baal's stats. He won Paris-Roubaix in 2022, I think. And at the time, it was the fastest ever edition of the men's race. He averaged 45.7 kilometers per hour, which is faster, I think, than any UK Cat 2 road race I've ever done, including the circuit races at like Castlecombe, which is pretty much pan flat. He averaged 307 watts for, what was it, 5 hours 37, which is inhumane, quite frankly. Strava estimated his weighted power, so basically normalized power, was 341 watts, which is huge. If I go out at the weekend and I average 200 watts on a general, like, nice day ride, I'm pretty happy with that. If I go out with my local race team and we do the Cheney, I'm going to be doing something like 220 with a 240 normalized. So there is a gulf, I think, between what the average person, I would call myself distinctly average, and the pros are doing. So one thing I want to ask, 1%, that 1% efficiency, for me, would that equate to, say, 24 watts? And for Van Baal, it'd be 34 watts.
That'd be 10%.
Oh, see, that's my numbers coming back to bite me.
If you're averaging, you know, say your FTP was 250 watts, for example, then 1% of that would be 2.5. Now, you know, that sounds like nothing, but actually, like, you know, it's 2.5 watts that are not, like, you know, in a flat time trial, there's not really a penalty for that 2.5 watts. You know, it's not making you any more uncomfortable. You know, it's not like with certain helmets, for example, you know, say POX 10 Poor time trial helmet, you know, I'm told that you have to keep your head in a really specific position with that helmet, otherwise it doesn't work. Whereas with a big chain ring and bigger cassette cogs and a straighter chain line, there's no kind of cost to that, unless you have to go up a big hill and you suddenly don't have low enough gears.
Oh, I'm not sure. You know, at 24 watts, I was kind of tempted.
24 watts. I mean, watts. That would have been good.
At 2.4 watts, I don't think I'm going to be.
There's probably a 20 watt saving in there for the Olympic track sprinter who's putting out 2,000 watts.
See, that was me when I had a broken power meter. I just need to do that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, let's talk a little bit about what we do, because this is something that I do consider. And say, for example, on my time trial bike, I have a set of 56, 42 teeth chain rings. Now, I'm not a powerhouse. You know, in my kind of like best racing days back in my kind of, you know, mid-20s, I had an FTP of like 290, 300 watts maybe on really good days. You know, nowadays I'd be lucky to kind of average 260 for a 20-minute time trial. But then I pair that with a basically like an 11 to 32 tooth cassette at the back. So I use a kind of wide range cassette, you know, big gears to kind of, yeah, get that efficiency gain, but still have enough kind of that, you know, that's 42, 32 is like easily low enough for anything that you would do as a time trial round here in the Southwest. You know, it's worth remembering that most UK time trials are absolutely pan flat. You know, it's up an A road, round a roundabout, back down the A road.
Really inventive.
Yeah. So, you know, they're not like kind of, most of them are not like sporting courses. And so for that, you know, I just, you know, 56 and the kind of, and that wide range cassette, it's effectively a one by, you know, I could go to one by, but I keep the two by system just because, you know, when you want to train, you're not racing, you know, you're not riding at the same speed. You know, I'm not going to have a 54 tooth chain ring or bigger on my road bike, for example, because, you know, one, I don't race anymore, but two, I'm just not fast enough. You know, I have used 53. 39, and I think that's kind of fine. But then the 39, 32 or 34 that I would end up with on my road bike, it is still a bit, that's keen for some of the, you know, the really steep hills in the Southwest.
Yeah, I now use my fancy road bike for commuting, which over the Mendips every morning is not where you want a 58 tooth chainring.
Yeah, and so I've kind of settled now on I really at the moment for where my fitness and where I am, I really like 52, 36 and an 11 to 34 tooth cassette.
You know, funny enough, Simon, I also enjoy a 52, 36.
Yeah, I think if I was racing, you know, and I was riding faster, then I probably would use a 39, 53. I think, you know, it's not one of those things that makes a massive difference, but it does kind of, you know, from a very personal level, it does kind of put me off a kind of, say it used to put me off a SRAM group set because, you know, they now do the big, you know, you can get the 50, 37 chain ring set now with at the force level, which is good, whereas, you know, previously you couldn't. You know, the kind of smaller chain rings of the SRAM Access group set and the super and the Campagnolo Super Record Wireless group set, you know, you get the 10 tooth sprocket and you get the same gear ratios, but basically you end up using, you know, smaller cogs at the back, smaller chain rings at the front, and it is just a little bit less efficient. It's not a major deal, but it is something that, because I know it, you know, it's kind of like it's in my head. It's like having a dirty chain, you know.
I don't think it's even the knowledge of the data. I personally, when I go and ride, especially a SRAM equipped one by gravel bike, and I go out onto the road for many sections, because round here you have to link up gravel sections with road sections. If I'm in a 40 tooth gear by something like an 11, a 12, a 10 at the back, it just feels gritty. It doesn't feel good. And, you know, I'm saying this with a clean bike and, you know, a clean chain, it just doesn't feel great.
No, I mean, certainly, you know, 10 tooth cogs don't, you know, they, to me, they don't feel great. And I often, like, you know, I kind of question, you know, you do get that range, but like you say, they don't feel great. And, you know, reasonably, I could say the same about 11 tooth cogs. I don't think they feel great. And to be honest, I'd be quite happy if a cassette started at like 12 tooth. I mean, that's a topic for another day.
Let's be honest, junior cassettes are probably more...
yeah, probably more relevant for
relevant
me. 14.
To us. Yeah.
You know, well, you know, Pogacar used one to steal the Tour de France, didn't he, back in 2020?
He took it with both hands.
Yeah. You know, on my gravel bike, for example, I have a 2x system with, I think I've got kind of a 46 tooth big ring with a 34 in a chain ring. And then I've got an 11 to 36 tooth cassette out the back. You know, 1x is very popular in gravel, and the kind of like simplicity of that is nice. But I agree, like, you know, if you're going to go 1x, you've kind of basically got to size down your front chain ring. And then, yeah, you can get that some of that range back by moving to a 10 tooth cassette if you've got, you know, the right drivetrain to do it. But like when you're down in those gears, that is going to feel noticeably less efficient compared to, because you're basically you're back then at that 39-11, like we said earlier, you're going to like compared to using a big chain ring like you would on your road bike. So I think it's kind of one of those things that, you know, if you're really in tune with these things, you can definitely feel it at the extremes. But it is worth saying that worrying about these kind of efficiency things is probably something of a moot point if you're not cleaning your bike properly,
if you're
lubricating your chain properly.
Let's stop there. If you're not training properly, resting properly, eating properly, this is really something for, I think, those people that are chasing that tiny margin at the end of all of the real hard work.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's really important to say that if you end up with a big chain ring that's too big for what you're doing, you're going to spend more time in the little ring, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, if your big chain ring, you know, say I went for a, you know, a lot of gravel pros, for example, will use a 50 tooth front chain ring or a 52. But like if I do that, you know, I'm going to be ending up in my 36 or whatever, you know, what 36 or 34 tooth chain ring more of the time, which is going to be drastically less efficient than if I opted for the smaller 46 or 48 tooth chain ring. So it is kind of, you know, that I think that's part of like SRAM and Campagnolo's argument for everyday riders is that, yes, you know, I'm sure they would acknowledge that their 46 and, you know, 44 and 46 and 48 tooth chain rings are less efficient in isolation than, say, Shimano's 50, 52, 54s. However, if you end up using them more often than your inner ring, because it's more appropriate gearing for the riding and the speeds that you're actually doing, then you should, in theory, be more efficient overall. So I think, you know, the very first thing is to always consider the gear. Is your gearing like appropriate for what you're doing? And you know, chain rings is one part of that, but obviously cassettes are a part of that as well, aren't they?
Should we start a company that does junior gearing at the back? That's the way to go, mate.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
But Liam, what do you have on your AFOS then? Do you think for hill climbs, for example, that like smaller gearing makes more sense there?
To be honest, at my level, maybe if I'm Andrew Feather, good, then I'll play around with my gearing and I'll start removing cogs and filling it with spacers and making sure my chain line is optimized. For my level of hill climbing, I could just do some training first. That would be really helpful. I think my AFOS runs a 52, 36 at the front, 160 mil cranks, which have actually made me more conscious of my cadence. That's a separate conversation. At the back, I've got an 11 to 30 tooth cassette, and that is pretty much fine for my riding.
Yeah, I think I can't remember what Andrew Feather ran at this year's UK National Hill Climb Championships. I think he may have run a 40 tooth chain ring.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's easy to look at, say, hill climb bikes and think, well, you know, what you're going to do is just optimize for like the lowest possible weight. And therefore, you know, you could use a really small chain ring and then like pair that with a tight cassette at the back, which is really super lightweight. But I think it's always going to, you know, whether like the kind of weight is more important or the kind of efficiency is more important, it's really going to depend on the course, you know. And so I think, you know, like you say, it probably doesn't matter that much for most people. But if you really wanted to be optimal, you know, you could, for the kind of shallower climbs, I imagine the slightly heavier, bigger gearing is probably going to be slightly faster because that efficiency will matter. You know, the balance will tip in favor of efficiency. But then maybe if you're climbing a really, really steep hill where it's consistently steep, then maybe the smaller chain rings and you know, the lighter drivetrain is going to be better. But yeah, like I said, I think this is kind of like, it's one of the last things you're probably going to think about, but it is worth thinking about. I do think there's a big placebo effect and you know, you kind of touched on this earlier that maybe the pros didn't want to change their ways. There is a big placebo effect of having a big chain ring and feeling really fast. And there's something to do with like, if you've ever ridden a drivetrain with really big gears, it does feel really good because you do end up in that the middle of the cassette more often. And that kind of increased efficiency, especially if you know you're running a kind of like a wax drivetrain or whatever, it can feel really, really good.
Yeah.
It does feel incredible. But yeah, like anything, you just got to be cautious and make sure you don't end up over geared, because if you hit a climb and you're having to like grind out a 60 RPM to get up it, like, you're going to be losing everything you gained. That marginal gain that you got, it's going to be down the drain.
For the listeners, I'm going to ruin Simon's day now by saying that I've stopped waxing my chains and I'm instead using dry lube.
Outrageous. Oof. Well, if you, clearly we're paying you too much if you feel that you can afford to just replace all your parts that frequently.
Oh, never.
What about you though, Liam? Are you going to take anything away from this conversation, these lessons? You'll be changing, or you think you're going to stick with 52-36 forever?
I think I will take away knowledge from this, and maybe when as we're approaching hill climb season, I might consider whether I actually want to use a one-by drivetrain. But will I be taking anything away and putting it on my bike? Probably not.
What about a gravel bike? One bike? Would you go for the kind of, you know, so you could have a bigger chain ring, a 2x system over a 1x on a gravel bike?
I'd probably, if money was no object, I'd have a classified rear hub in the rear and have that actually bodged into my DI2 shifters.
Okay, yeah. For listeners who aren't aware, Classified's rear hub is a kind of planetary gear-based hub system that basically offers you the kind of gear range of a 2x drivetrain with a single chain ring up front. So you basically, you use the big ring and then the Classified shifts down effectively to offer you a lower gear ratio. So I kind of guess you get the best of both worlds. But as Liam said, it's a kind of money's no object choice because it typically costs around, you know, it's £1,000 upgrade over
plus,
because you have to get it in the wheels essentially. So it's not a super cheap upgrade at the moment.
How about you, Simon? Is the bike that you ride into the office getting a 58 tooth chainring?
No, my commuter bike has a 38 tooth 1x chainring because I have to get it's an e-bike and I have to get my little boy up a really big hill every single morning. But like, yeah, you know, like I said, on my time trial bike, you know, I've got a 56 tooth ring and I used to think that was pretty big. Yeah. But now that feels relatively small.
Tobias Foss says no.
Yeah. But it is, it is something I think about. Like I said, I use 52 tooth big ring on my road bike at the moment, and on my gravel bike that I've recently built up, I have a 46 tooth chain ring. I probably would have gone for a 48 tooth had I had the option. Basically, I kind of hacked my gravel bike together from various bits that I got off eBay and parts that I already had, and I'm using an Ultegra road crankset on it, and Shimano only makes a 46 tooth cyclocross chain ring.
Yeah.
So they don't make a 48 tooth. So that was kind of why I ended up, you know, there are brands like TA or Mike, or, you know, you can get stone chain rings off AliExpress that offer a 48, but like this 46 tooth on eBay was a little bit cheaper. And so, yeah, like I kind of thought two teeth probably doesn't make much difference.
Nah, it'd be fine.
So, but I did make a conscious decision, obviously, to go for a 46 tooth, you know, two by setup rather than say, you know, a 42 tooth one by or a 44 or something like that, because, you know, one, I wanted that range of the two by system. You know, we've kind of talked about it on the podcast before, but yeah, I did also think that, yeah, when you want that the bigger gear, I didn't want to be constantly in, yeah, like you say, the 44-11 or the 42-11 or the 42-12, because it just doesn't feel very good.
No.
Well, we'd really love to know what you think. Let us know what you run on your bike and why. You can email us at podcast@BikeRadar. Of course, if you have any questions, you can also send us an email or leave a comment on my article on BikeRadar.com. There'll be a link to that in the podcast description. Thank you for joining me today, Liam.
Thank you very much, Simon.
And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Bike Radar podcast. If you've not done so already, please subscribe and share with your friends, or leave us a rating if you've enjoyed this episode.